it provides a foreshadowing of what I'm seeing in the marketplace today as we look at Web3, right? The metaverse, blockchain, and I'll say the new community ecosystem that we're entering into is we all have great confidence that it's going to be a big thing. We're obviously entering it and people are investing billions of dollars right now and hundreds of billions of dollars to make sure that we have a strategy, that companies have a strategy for Web3 and the metaverse. But to be clear, there's still a lot of unknowns.
Veritone presents Adventures in AI, the podcast that dives into the many ways artificial intelligence is shaping our future for the better. I'm your host, Megan Minchev, and this is the third part of the Metaverse series here on Adventures in AI. Today, I am speaking with Ryan Steelberg. He is Veritone's co-founder and president. Ryan has previously served as president and CEO of Brand Affinity Technologies, as the head of the offline division at Google, and was the co-founder and president of DMARC Broadcasting, which was an advertising company that was acquired by Google in 2006. Ryan, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Thank you, Megan. It's good to be back.
Awesome. So let's go ahead and get this started. As I said, this is the third part of our Metaverse series. And in previous episodes, I had the great opportunity to speak with two other highly influential people in the space, John Radoff and Theo Priestley. Now, as a well-established media, sports entertainment, and technology influencer leader, I'd like to focus on the landscape and predictions conversation with you, Ryan. So with that being said, what do you think is the landscape and predictions on Metaverse and Web3?
Well, I think the only thing we can all agree on is that it's going to be big. It's going to be disruptive. And I do believe that it's going to impact every business and every individual, both directly and indirectly. And I say that high level vague because it reminds me so much of the early days of the World Wide Web back in the mid 90s, where this new interconnected world was being thrust upon us. Very few consumers knew about it, but a lot of businesses were hearing about the World Wide Web and the vision and opportunity to seamlessly and continuously be able to communicate to other partners, other consumers. And so it was like a mad gold rush of everybody trying to figure out their strategy and staking their claim in the World Wide Web. Obviously, as we've gone through the millennium and the 2000s and the dot-com boom, and bust phase, the end result was everybody was correct. The World Wide Web and the internet was a big thing. And it turns out today that there's probably not a single area of our existence that is not somehow directly impacted by the World Wide Web and the internet. But the clear roadmap when we were entering that phase, it was, I would say, a murky map at best. And so it reminds me a lot, frankly, of taking that as a parallel of what's happened in the past. It provides a foreshadowing of what I'm seeing in the marketplace today as we look at Web3, right? The metaverse, blockchain, and the new community ecosystem that we're entering into is we all have great confidence that it's going to be a big thing. We're obviously entering it and people are investing billions of dollars right now and hundreds of billions of dollars to make sure that we have a strategy, that companies have a strategy for Web3 and the metaverse. But to be clear, there's still a lot of unknowns. And I think that's the biggest thing that we are really focusing on is what is a disciplined, pragmatic approach to entering and servicing our clients as it relates to Web3 and the metaverse.
Yeah. And to actually go a little bit deeper on the unknowns. So if influencers, content IP owners, and brands are driving the engagement within the metaverse, what are some best practices you would give them guidance on, like brand continuity or identity management?
I think the most important thing is stay focused to as it relates to your community and your audience. Many of these influencers, and we've talked to hundreds of influencer partners, and remember, Veritone, for those who don't know, we have a pretty large business of interacting and trading with digital influencers. We're one of the largest advertisement investment companies that sponsor a lot of the creative channels. Those are TikTok channels, YouTubers, etc. What's interesting in those discussions, and again, to be very specific, well over 100 conversations with some of the larger partners that we work with, many of them have no idea really what the metaverse is as it relates to their business. So when we say it's being driven by the creator economy and community, et cetera, that is very accurate to a point. But some of the biggest YouTube stars you know, right, have really very little understanding of what Web3, what the metaverse looks like. And so if that's the case, I think it's imperative upon everybody to take, again, a very disciplined, pragmatic approach as relates to it. And a part of that is groups can't afford not to start investing a little bit, right? Trying to understand, if nothing else, what does this all mean, right? What does my coexistence in the metaverse for my brand mean? But I think the true north that a lot of these influencers are going to stay on that category for a second is, number one, community first. Do not forget your current and existing audience. This is the same group, mind you, that has made them, you know, stars with tens of millions of subscribers and fans. Don't alienate them. When you're thinking about your metaverse strategy and your Web3 strategy, you need to think about your community first, right? What is your positioning in the metaverse, and how is that going to extend and expand your current community, and not alienate it or think that you're just going to start to create a brand new community? So I think, again, number one is stay focused on your community. And that requires all of the same attributes that many creators are good at, is keeping an authentic and relationship with their audience, with their communities, with high integrity. The second thing I would say is make sure they protect their brand, right? Ownership, and just like the early days of the web, people are misappropriating content and identities every single day in the metaverse. And this has been a problem. Obviously, it's been going on since the creator community really emerged with YouTube. But it's imperative that creators have clear understandings of what they own and their content, make sure it's protected. And we're reading a lot about this with NFT marketplaces and other things today, is about 80% of the listings on OpenSea are built around copywritten material, meaning they're being ripped off. People are literally building NFTs, whether they're imagery or video objects or new creations, and they're misappropriating IP copyright that's owned by somebody else. So that ties into the second pillar, which I mentioned, is make sure you have a clear understanding of brand integrity and brand ownership and IP ownership as you enter into the metaverse place. So take care of your community, number one, and number two, take care of your IP and your brand.
Love it. Great points, definitely. And what about large enterprises? Can we talk about the opportunities of enterprises being in the metaverse? So what are the benefits? What kind of doors will this open for companies?
Yep. I think businesses have their own audience as well. They may be different. They may be customers and buyers, right? And it depends. So I think a lot of the same tenets still apply. What is your audience, right? In your current Web 2 ecosystem and even Web 1 ecosystem, how are brands, how are enterprises leveraging those technologies, leveraging the traditional Web 2 and the World Wide Web and the internet to service their customers? The Web 3 strategy should be an extension of that. I think the biggest difference for enterprises is the community itself is a much more active player. It's not just them, you know, preaching and advertising to potential customers and an audience, but they have to understand that really Web3 is about community, right? It's taking interactivity and opening up a communication line with your customer base, with your audience to a whole nother level. A lot of enterprises aren't necessarily prepared for that. And I think that's something that the creator community has had a distinct advantage over enterprises, because that's the entire growth of their platform for these creators and individuals has been about building audiences, about engaging and activating communities. And so I think enterprises need to understand that as well. The opportunities are endless. Again, it's just setting expectations. Enterprises need to have exposure. They need to test things. They need to try things, but they have to be realistic. They're going to have a lot of trial and errors. They're going to make mistakes. Should I set up a storefront and try to start literally selling things? If I'm a recruiting company, do I want to set up recruiting fairs and job fairs inside the metaverse? The answer to all these things are yes, 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 right? Test, test, test. But be disciplined, be controlled, make sure you can get out, right? So enterprises, they need to have a clear understanding of the risks that they want to take when they are entering and trying out, right, and testing and innovating in the metaverse. And they need to be prepared to get out, right? Or very quickly make changes to their strategy. Again, I strongly encourage every enterprise, right, to make the investments, to start exploring, to start testing, to get exposure. But again, be nimble and be prepared to shift your strategy quickly.
Makes absolute sense. I feel like it's just, like you said, the opportunities are endless. And the best way to know is to just go for it. That's how you learn. What do you consider digitally immersive? And do you think that we're already there?
You know, I think there's aspects of where we're already there. I think the gaming community is simply from by the nature of these 3D immersive worlds that you can enter, you know, either through, you know, a PC or, you know, an app on your phone that has a 3D based environment, like so many of these very popular video games provide, is absolutely part of the metaverse, right? That is the entry point. I've always described the metaverse as just a different level of immersion. You can choose to take that same video game experience and put on your VR headset and enter it, meaning you're activating more of your senses. And so you're more immersed in the 3D world. But again, I don't minimize at all those who simply choose to enter and experience the 3D worlds through their phone or looking at their screen without the headset. So I look at it as kind of a continuum, right, where it's just a level of immersion. And there's arguments, and I actually believe that I'm in the metaverse right now, you know, on a very limited basis, even on this call with you, right? You and I are having a discussion through an IP-based interface, right, building this podcast. So in that instance, it's not full immersion by no sense, but you and I at any time in the same conversation can choose to put on our VR headsets, and then we could start interacting through our avatars. So the point is it a completely new experience? Not necessarily, right? So we look at it as, and we really try to educate our constituent digital influencer clients and content partners, is you need to think of the full spectrum, right? Those individuals who want to interface and engage with your brand and with you in a completely asynchronous thing, meaning I just want to be able to communicate on my phone through Discord, but be prepared if larger percentage of your community and your audience or your customers want to go full immersion, you need to be prepared for that. You know, what's the difference when Ryan Steelberg chooses to put on my headphone and go into the complete 3D immersive world where more of my senses are fully saturated, right? And what would be the different experience that I'm going to have with that brand or that enterprise? So again, yes, I do believe all of us have been in the metaverse now for quite some time, really highlighted and grown, built out by the smartphone. But now we're just entering another phase or a more comprehensive level of immersion through these pervasive 3D worlds with the option to go, I would say, complete submersion and immersion with VR headsets, Oculus Rift, and others.
So what do you see being the next trend in immersive engagement? Do you think it's dating? Do you think it's shopping or music? I mean, we've already got TV shows that have avatars. So what do you think that next big thing will be?
You know, I think we're going to see a lot of the web two opportunities be introduced and tried and either proven to be valid or debunked in Web3. Dating, absolutely. Some of the most primal things that us as humans are always trying to strive for, community, right? Communication, obviously dating and intimacy, whether that's in real life human being or through a digital avatar, that's something that everybody craves. And I think that's going to be in high demand. So you're going to see a lot of different new derivatives of dating. What's interesting about it is if you look at the kind of the match.com and the Tinder ecosystem, part of that opportunity historically is you create a listing of yourself. And obviously they use AI and different technologies to try to match you up with somebody else. And you can look at photos of somebody else, right? And I make a decision, right? Pretty superficially is I can make a decision whether I want to take it to the next step with that potential individual, or I can swipe, you know, down or left or whatever. The metaverse and the 3D world absolutely allows you to extend, right, that courtship, that initial dating opportunity even deeper. But it's interesting is you're going to have even more opportunity to present yourself on how you want to present yourself. A lot of people, you know, complain like, wow, I finally met that person on that date that I met on Tinder and they look nothing like their photo, right? Or they've doctored up. Well, that's going to be a whole nother extreme level, as you can imagine, where I could choose any type of avatar I want. So I think the issue with the 3D worlds, which is also the opportunity, is the form of expression is going to be extreme. People are going to be able to not be bound by their pure physical being of how they are in real life. And they may want to express themselves and present themselves through a different type of a voice or a visual avatar that may be extreme. It may have very little resemblance or semblance of Ryan Steelberg in real life. So I think dating is absolutely one. Commerce, of course, people by the sheer nature, they're going to want to experience different products and services in a 3D environment. They want to walk around a car and spin it around. They want to look at what a dress or an outfit might look like. All these opportunities are now possible. It's just a question of, are people finding the right opportunity in these 3D immersive worlds that may be a differentiated opportunity or better than they could get in real life, right? Some people may never, ever be able to appreciate the opportunity to buy a car by looking at a 3D model of it, and they need to sit in the actual physical car and take it for a true test drive. So we'll see. Again, I think what you're going to see here is a lot of the larger Web 2.0 platform opportunities, dating, commerce, and other things are all going to be tried out and iterated upon and tested in Web3 with more immersive metaverses.
Yeah, I'm just waiting for the day where I can smell perfume over the internet so I can know whether or not I like it, just instead of, you know, reading the description of, oh, this is floral scent.
Yeah, I mean, and the haptic suits, I mean, many of us have, you know, frequent Disneyland or Disney World, where they have, you know, out here, California Adventure, where you're flying obviously over the different areas looking at a screen, but you're smelling the pine trees, right? You're smelling the orange grove when you're flying over Orange County, California. And there's actually been devices now. There's been peripherals that you can plug into your PC that will allow you to get a very limited array of different senses, like, again, the smelling of pine, et cetera. It is another sense that can be activated and will absolutely add more authenticity to a 3D world. Haptic suits is another one, right? When you're running through a game and you hit something, right, you'll actually feel it, right, on your body. So again, I look at those as, again, if you look at all your different senses, you're going to see a gradual increase in the number or the extent and the comprehensiveness of activating those and servicing those additional senses. Smell absolutely is fundamental in almost every aspect of our human existence. And that will absolutely be a core staple here in the next few years.
That's really incredible. I can't wait. And then talking about a haptic suit, I don't really need one when I'm playing Oculus, especially when I run into walls.
Yeah.
As I go to the boundary lines, what should companies be focusing on as their strategy for leveraging these new immersive channels? And of course, not all channels are the same. We've got Meta that seems to be focused on B2C, and then you have NVIDIA's developer space or the real estate Second Life Somnium platform. How much of this is like guessing on which cryptocurrency is going to win?
You know, it's a great question. I think some of the big speculative things that have happened with NFTs and buying real estate property in a virtual world, just actually this week, you're starting to read articles about 99% drop in values, right, already in some of these things. We mentioned when we were discussing earlier today about, you know, somebody bought Jack Dorsey from Twitter's, you know, first tweet on Twitter for $2.1 million through it as an NFT. And that today has a value of about $6,800, right? So I think, you know, speculative areas, I would advise against making those type of brash moves so early, particularly if you're an established brand. You don't have to do that. I know Gucci is, you know, heavily invested in all things metaverse and Web3. But my point is, they have such a killer brand. There's ways that they can very cost effectively enter and take advantage of the existing worlds out there, right? Horizon being just one of many, and Meta and the like, is let them experience it and frankly work with these companies who are looking for partners like Gucci to come in and bring those brands and those opportunities into their worlds. But again, I don't think it makes a lot of sense to go out and speculatively spend millions of dollars buying plots of land, right? Because again, I don't think that established brands need to do that. They need to be quick to act, right? So they don't lose out on the opportunity. But I definitely would advise being the first in the pond for some of the more speculative things. In terms of the currency and some of the underlying underpinnings of, you know, that blockchain, which is really a primary driver of all this, is going to support, that's a war that's going to be fought out. Thankfully, I think there's going to be, you know, different types of exchanges, or there's going to be the ability to seamlessly exchange and leverage different currencies in the different worlds. So you're not going to have to be, you know, whether it's MetaMask or different types of wallets out there. I don't think that any group should commit to any one platform. I think they'll take an agnostic approach. But thankfully, there's a lot of service providers out there, and a lot of like Stripe and others, who provide a lot of the technologies to run Web 2.0 commerce. They all are looking at a multi-crypto currency opportunity. So it will make it easier for consumers and enterprises, right, to transact without having to commit to, again, one standard or one type of crypto.
Interesting. Okay. And by no means is this a political party question. I like to stay out of politics as much as possible. But do you think by the next presidential election, we will have a presidential candidate avatar who are having debates in the metaverse?
I think absolutely. I think this one needs to be taken very carefully. I think this could be a huge win or major backfire, right, for the candidates. Once again, I think of who is your audience, right? And if these are certain candidates, like all of them, where they think that they have an underserved voter base, or they're trying to, you know, invigorate, you know, let's say, a new class of voters, the metaverse and having a 3D experience inside Fortnite or Horizon may be a great extension. Or frankly, or if it's an older candidate and they're trying to communicate to a younger audience, which is more akin and more, right, assimilated with the metaverse, that may make a lot of sense. But again, if they're thinking about, you know, if 90% of their audience and their consumers and their potential voters are using other channels, they should focus there, right? So I look at for political candidates, this should be viewed as an auxiliary extension of their campaigns. It definitely shouldn't be a core tenant, at least at this stage in the current maturity level of the metaverses. And frankly, just the number of people that are actually engaged in them. But you absolutely will see it. You're going to see it at a local level. You're going to see it at a national level. There will be debates and people are going to show up in droves and stuff like that. But again, I think it's going to be as a percentage to really moving the needle for voting, at least over the next couple of years. I think this will be fringe. It will be a lot of marketing and a lot of discussion around it. Again, I would advise any candidate on both sides of the aisle, whatever position you're in, is make sure you still stay focused on your core audience, your core community. And wherever they are, that's where you should be marketing. The metaverse you think is a good vehicle to extend or augment that, great. But I don't think it should be a core tenant.
Yeah. And maybe if it goes this way, or likely, like you're saying, I will show a little bit more interest in politics. What do you think are the most critical factors of success for individuals and companies moving into the metaverse? I know you spoke a little bit about this earlier, but are there any other points that you want to drive home there?
Yeah, I mean, mine are more risk adverse. So my perspective is not speculative startups, but more established companies that have, they've spent millions or billions of dollars building their brands, right? And whether those are content brands and IP or their advertisers or, so I think first and foremost is they got to make sure that they understand the risks associated with the metaverse. A lot of this is, you know, you either hear other horror stories that people have, you know, entire accounts wiped out and crypto's been stolen, et cetera. So I think this is new by the nature of what Web3 is. It's a decentralized ecosystem. And with that, it obviously presents a lot of opportunity, but it presents a lot of risk. So again, highest level is for groups who are trying to extend upon their current successful businesses and IP and let's say content libraries or whatever their current core business is, be smart. Test, but be prudent. Make sure you are working with known and trusted partners. Make sure you have a great understanding of the security needed and required. And make sure, again, you have clear understanding of ownership of your IP and your identity. And if you can really get confident there, and again, stick with larger players, more established service providers out there, you're going to be fine. And again, dip your toes in. You don't need to jump in headfirst into the deep end with this. And that's the luxury that you have of already having a well-established brand. You don't have to be first. It's more important to you to be prudent and wise and ready to move quickly. But again, on the flip side, if you jump too quickly, you could have a very negative experience from Web3, etc. So again, understand your audience. protect your brand and IP. And again, start testing today.
And it feels like everyone, they're saying that they are in the metaverse, they have this strategy. But when it comes to Veritone, how does Veritone credibly differentiate itself from, say, the new wealth-funded startups to the quote-unquote influencers who may have sold a few NFTs or even made a few viral Twitch videos that are giving these multi-billion dollar brands guidance into the metaverse?
There's so many different aspects. I mean, it's almost ubiquitous, the metaverse and Web3, right? So the areas for specifically as it relates to Veritone is really focusing again on our two primary constituent groups, our clients that are digital influencers and content brands and content groups, and making sure that we have the right technologies, whether that's for synthetic content creation, synthetic voices, you know, NFTs and the like, and make sure that all the efforts that we've done building up great protected and secure business opportunities for them can again be extended and augmented into the metaverse without compromising, right? They're very successful, I'll call Web2 and offline businesses. So as it relates to, for example, content libraries, if we look at some of our partners like CBS News and others, they have multi-billion dollar businesses that are all tied to the successful production and distribution and protection of their content, whether that's linear video over OTT channels and television or online. When they think about leveraging or extending that content to the metaverse, the same rules have to apply. Do I feel that this content can be protected? Do I feel that this content or my distribution can be monetized? I can't just give away free content or have people rip it off and not get compensated for it. So again, I think that Veritone brings a very differentiated experience because primarily we've already been doing this with content groups for years, right? In Web2 and even in offline experiences. You know, we understand obviously the technology very well, but more importantly, we understand the business models. We understand the value of copyright and the importance of IP protection. And that same thing applies to, I'll say, a slightly newer form of content, which is the digital influencers. Obviously, they are the primary, you know, production house themselves, right? It's their own voice. They are, right, both the IP owner and the creator of the content. But the same rules apply. Making sure, again, you know your audience, protect your IP, and make sure that if you do choose to start to distribute your content or your persona or identity in the metaverse, the same rules should apply. You shouldn't be more cavalier or more open to security risks. You should have the same diligence to protect your IP. And if your goal is to generate revenue through distribution, right, or licensing of your content, those same rules and principles should apply in Web3. So Veritone, obviously, we view ourselves as a technology leader that has great understanding of these new technologies. But again, I would say equally or even more importantly is we understand the traditional businesses and we understand that a lot of the same principles, again, as it relates to monetization, IP protection, and copyright law are critical as you move into the metaverse.
Yeah, and you keep talking about, you know your audience and keep focusing on that. So what is the value of our metaverse offerings for our Veritone's targeted audience?
Well, know your audience. So if you look at, let's say, CBS News content, and obviously they have a multitude of different brands and shows, but each one of those shows, whether it's online, OTT, or linear broadcast, has these different type of demographic, right? An audience that they've spent a lot of time and money to build up. And let's say it's, you know, primarily male skewed 18 to 49 year olds, whatever it is. You shouldn't necessarily think of introducing your content in the metaverse to a brand new audience. So your baseline should be, okay, if this is my primary audience that I've been successful through Web2, you know, online distribution, OTT or linear, will there be a different type of audience that wants the same content? Let's call it 48 hours, the TV show. You know, highly successful, got podcasts that people are listening to. It's obviously got a major presence and a revenue generating machine on television and OTT channels. If you're going to start to do something with the brand of 48 hours in the metaverse in a more 3D immersive world, you still need to look at that same audience as the baseline, right? Do you feel that audience will carry over into the metaverse? Or should they focus on a different brand first, right? Something that may have a slightly younger skew appeal that they want to start to focus on. So again, it's imperative that you do not alienate your existing audience that a lot of these brands have already built up in Web 2 and more traditional in real life experiences and opportunities. But again, what is your strategy as it relates to the community and audience in Web 3? Are you trying to actually expand it? Meaning, I know that I don't have a bunch of 75-year-olds that are all wearing Oculus Rifts in the metaverse that may be watching 60 Minutes. But is your goal to find younger audiences, right? Leveraging the brand of 60 Minutes to extend it. Or is it based upon all your research and testing, you're saying, no, I don't think 60 Minutes is the right brand for us to start trying to distribute, right, and activate in a metaverse. We should focus on a different brand. So I think, again, always look at your current audience, what your current customer, your current community, right, of followers, what has made you successful. That should be your baseline. And then when you look at what that opportunity may look like in the metaverse, that should be your true north. And then you can make decisions on what you're trying to do. Am I literally trying to mobilize the same audience in a Web3 environment, or am I trying to do something different? So I think, again, for established brands and established enterprises, which really is the market that Veritone has been focusing on as compared to brand new startups, is, again, have a clear strategy of your audience and community and the continuum between what's made you successful offline or in real life or Web2, and compare that or contrast that with what your expectations and goals are in Web3.
I love it. And how can people learn more about our stance within the metaverse, and meaning like Veritone's stance?
Well, for a lot of our existing customers, obviously we have our own account, you know, management teams and account reps that they can reach out to at any time. And they've all been trained and educated on what we're doing. But we are launching an entirely, just because of the nature and importance of Web3 and the metaverse, we've actually created an entirely new dedicated microsite called Veriverse. That's veriverse.com, which, again, from the perspective of content owners and digital influencers, it's a one-stop shop where people can come to veriverse.com, learn about the metaverse in these 3D immersive worlds, and learn a lot more about specifically what Veritone is doing as relates to this opportunity, and goes in depth into the products and services that we offer. So I invite everybody, both existing and new prospective customers and partners, to come visit veriverse.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Ryan, for giving us all your insights into your position and Veritone's position for the metaverse. Very excited to see how everything unfolds in the next 30, 60, 90 plus days, not only from Veritone's perspective, but the entire world as individuals and as companies. So great conversation. And hopefully we can have you on with John Radoff and Theo Priestley in the near future.
Great. Thank you, Megan. Appreciate the time today.
All right. Take care. What a great discussion this has been about the metaverse from Ryan Steelberg's perspective. Thank you to everyone out there for listening to Adventures in AI, the podcast that dives into the many ways artificial intelligence is shaping the future for the better. Talk with you next time.